A balance in boldness. Might say, how to be an ambassador for Christ. It would seem that many people, first, I want to take the word ambassador so that you can really understand it, all right? We have it. Let's take it in the Greek first. It's kind of where we get our word presbyter from. It means a teacher, an elder, someone that naturally is able to handle a situation. I think from the Hebrew, which a word that starts with tzad in the Hebrew alphabet, being sihar, which is kind of a name for an angel or a messenger. But I think what's important to really understand what an ambassador for Christ is to understand the prime of that word. You know what it is? It's a hinge. You've seen a hinge on a barn door. Every time you go into a house, you have a hinge there. Well, to be a hinge for Christ, meaning what? Let's take it from this way. It means that you can take a door and make it fit into the proper place, that you can hold something up. It's the turning. The hinge is the point of turning that puts something together properly. That's what an ambassador for Christ is. I want you to open your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. A hinge for Christ, but how do you become that hinge? How do you have the knowledge to put things together properly and in their proper place? Does, in your life, do those things that are paramount hinge whereby all those things that come secondary are kept in their proper place? An ambassador from the embassy of Christ. An embassy is a place wherein an ambassador works. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Let's go with it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's to say if he believes upon Christ, naturally Christ is in him, and he is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, a man that is not coerced or through emotions brought into the Lord, but truly from the heart wants to follow Christ, it makes a difference. It changes his or her life. Anyone can see it. You do see, in fact, a new creature. And the old, though we always fall short, and though the flesh is always present, the higher being within you takes over in those times when it is most needed. And it does make a difference. Now let's go with verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, what does it mean? You know, sometimes we overlook the simpler things. Let's take the first part of that verse. What does it say? All things are of God. Why? He owns everything. He created everything. Now, there is a difference in reconciling something and something being consoled. In other words, what are we saying when we say reconciliation? We are saying God wants to reclaim them. What does that mean? They're his anyway. Whether they believe on Jesus Christ or not, they are still God's children. It is for this reason, and this will be really the basic point of this particular lecture, why you don't have to apologize for spreading God's word of reconciliation. That is to say, God owns you, he owns the world, all of it's his. Do you want it or not? You don't have to apologize. You don't have to act like a second-class citizen. Even the press itself of this generation that kind of poo-paws Christianity are treading on dangerous ground, because God, our Father, owns everything, and we can be bold in offering a conciliation, that is to say to reconcile, if they want to take advantage of it. If they don't, so be it. You can be bold in that fact because God owns everything. So what does that mean? At one time, they were within good standing, for reconciliation means to bring one back to a point of being in their lot or being back in the good graces of our Father, being happy, which means what? At one time, they were. God did not create a soul, and He created all souls. I hope everybody believes that, because when you were an embryo and the soul was implanted in your mother's womb with the body, you came from the Father, and at one point in time when He created you, and as much as God creates nothing corrupt, you were in good standing in your lot with your Father. He created your soul for His pleasure. Now He's trying to bring those back to Him. What am I saying? That's why you can be bold. They're God's anyway, whether they know it or not. He wants to reconcile them, and that's what a ministry for God is about, is bringing back those things. Now, that is an oversimplification, because to do that, you must be experienced in using the tools that an ambassador would use. We have ambassadors for governments. They're usually, sometimes, pretty sharp old boys. They know what the problem is between the two nations, and they know how to try to work out those details. A good ambassador knows how to stay off of the toes of pride. Well, you just observed a good example of that, and I'll date it to this past week when Jimmy Carter went to North Korea, a very proud, stubborn people. They're so stubborn, before they would change, you got to kill them, all right? They're that stubborn, and I mean literally. And they were trying to make a face-saving move. And they got their toes stepped on a little bit. Well, a good ambassador doesn't allow that to happen. So you saw a little bit of what I'm talking about on the political scene this past week. Christ expects you, when you're in Him and He's in you, to absorb His word, whereby you know how to say the right thing at the right time, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to reconcile someone back to their true Father. Again, you don't have to act like a second-class citizen in doing that or apologize for it, because our Father owns everything and every soul. Some of them are on outs with Him and so forth, but that's what your business is. He didn't choose you to be in the business of setting yourself aside. Oh, I'm such a holy Joe. I'm so holy that I just feel holy within. Now, I'm not knocking the love of our Father, but what good would you be if you just stood around being holy within yourself and you never made a difference? I don't want to go near those sinners. Oh, that's what ambassadors are for. How are you going to reconcile a sinner if you don't go to him? But there's still a balance. And that's why balance and boldness is very necessary. I could even oversimplify it again by calling it common sense, but I'd much rather go by what the Word says. Again, what did that verse say? God owns everything, and in Christ He sends out workers, ambassadors, to reconcile what is His back to Himself. That's simple. Therefore, if my milk cow strays over on the neighbor's property, I have to apologize to him for any damage she might have done. But because she's my cow, I don't have to apologize for claiming her. All right? Good. Now, how did we get from milk cows to ambassadors? I don't know, but it works, doesn't it? All right. Now, verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling. Again, I know that's a simple word, but reconciliatory, reclaiming that that is his. To reconcile something, it must have been yours at one time again. It is his. All right? The what? The world unto himself. And don't worry, he's going to. There will be some we'll have to get rid of. And the bad will have to go by the wayside. But it will be reconciled. All right? Not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now, boy, that's lucky for all of us. Do you know what that means? When you come into Christ and repent, he doesn't charge you with your sin, calling you guilty. Does not impute, does not blame you, does not charge you, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Well, how do I go about doing this reconciling business? He gave you the word to do it with, therefore you must grow skilled in the word to be an efficient ambassador for Christ. It's necessary. That and a lot of good old common sense of reclaiming what belongs to our Father. That's what the ministry is about when you get right down where the rubber meets the road. But again, within that word, you are instructed how. Everything must be reconciled. And don't go with me saying I said everything will be reconciled. It will not. Part of it will be destroyed. But that can fit that hinge and swing into proper alignment with the Father will be saved. If it cannot fit that hinge, and you, my friend, are that hinge, it's destroyed, so you carry quite a bit of weight. By that I mean you're responsible if you become an ambassador for Christ to hinge these things back into position. Okay? That word is your tool. 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. That is to say, we are the sia, the presbyter in the Greek. Seal, the hinge in the Hebrew. For Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. God reached out and reclaimed you through us. We pray you in Christ's stead be you reconciled to God. Be ambassadors. What he's saying here, let's get it right down real simple. I want you to be ambassadors on behalf of Christ. Probably if you forget that and go too much out on your own, you won't become an ambassador that is successful. Everything you do is on behalf of Christ. Why? Because he's the one that paid the price that your sins, your faults, and don't anyone tell me you don't have faults. I know better. All right? I've lived on this earth too many years to know all of us fall short. He, Christ, is the one that paid the sin. I paid the price that your sins are not imputed to you. That means you're not guilty. That is quite a gift, all right? And don't ever forget it. 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Christ, that is to say. Who knew no sin. He was perfect. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And beloved, that's where your perfection lies, is the Christ that is in you. And when you can humble yourself to the point, yeah, I'm not perfect, and be honest with ourselves, but I repent of my shortcomings and those things that maybe I'm not too sharp in, that I can't really quite understand, then the Holy Spirit will alleviate any anxiety you might have, kick you off of a guilt trip if you should get on one, and straighten your little old act up with his love. All right? It just so happens that the next chapter gives us the credentials or the emotions, love And those tools that we must utilize to become a good worker or ambassador or hinge, I like to go back to the prime of that Hebrew word. You know, the etymology of a word says so much. It's what our founding fathers heard from God, and I mean just a plain old hinge. That it hinges on you. To take that word with the tools we're about to cover and be able to take something that is off, realign it, and get the weight of it on the hinge and swing it back into the proper opening that it fits nicely. We could use many things that are called a hinge. Remember when we used to take a little piece of tape, the old picture books before people could afford these fancy dudes, you know, that you slide the pictures into now? You had to get a little old piece of tape of some kind, and you made a hinge and glued the picture into it. It could be a scrapbook. It might even be a Sears and Roebuck catalog, you know, or sales catalog or something like that to keep the family pictures in. You could hinge even your own kin into the picture album of life by having them in the right section because of a hinge. That's why that the original language is so important, that you can really just get right down where Christ was talking and using his ambassador Paul, his hinge Paul, to hinge your mind back into the simplicity in which Christ taught, that you really have something to offer to a lost soul, to call the hinging path back to the truth. All right, verse 6, our instructions how to do these things. We then, because of this, then we continue this same subject. As workers, together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace, that's to say, don't receive that forgiveness or that favor from Christ of God in vain. Don't receive it and then waste it. Let it fly out the window. Don't let your hinge get rusty. Do you know what happens to an old rusty hinge? All it can do is every time you move it, it squawks, screeches, squawk, just squawks and screeches, and pretty soon it'll even freeze up. Don't let that happen to you, all right? 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee, I've helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time, behold, now is the day of salvation. He's quoting here from Isaiah 49, verse 8. You can read it. Make a note of it. Don't overlook it. He set aside the Son of God, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, for that purpose. The New Testament always draws from the old. That's why without one, you can't really have the other. All right? Verse 3. Giving no offense. This word offense in the Greek means don't be a stumbling block that causes somebody to trip and fall. And I'm going to tell you something. If you set yourself up as a self-righteous hypocrite, that you're too good to go talk to a sinner, that you wouldn't give the time of the day or the sweat of your brow to an individual that needs help, you don't fit this, all right? Because you're a stumbling block. When the unbeliever looks at you, they're going to say, oh, but by the grace of God, there go I. It'd be the sinner saying that. Goody, goody, two-shoes. I'm not saying... And understand, what I'm saying is, use balance, moderation, but be bold. Boldness is love within itself. When it is exercised, that it proclaims the word of reconciliation on behalf of the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, claim for God what is his. Brand the right doggies and get them back into the corral. Don't let some robber run off with them. Be willing and able to fight if you have to, but keep God's property where it should be with a balance of boldness. Giving no offense or being no stumbling block in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. In other words, you must always protect your credibility. I wish we could say that, presto, you could push a button and you would never offend anyone. I offend people every day on television. There's no way that you can teach God's Word without offending some when Satan's in control of this world, because number one, it offends him. So all you can do is do your best, and God will not impute your shortcomings in your ministry or ambassadorship, but will mark it good and bless it. That's how you tell whether you are successful, whether or not he blesses it. Verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in, now get ready for it, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Don't let them see you sweat on your first cruise when you're a Christian. Don't let them drag you into their childish nervousness or upset of world conditions when you're an ambassador for God, our Father. Be patient. Wait until the iron is hot and then strike. I'm using too much colloquialism, perhaps. All right? I don't know. You know, the older you get, the colloquialism of your day kind of falls out with the younger generation. Strike when the iron is hot means this. That's an old branding iron, you know. Until it got hot, you're not going to brand one of God's heifers. Or cattle, all right? Goes for both. Not going to work, all right? So you got to wait until the right opportunity, and then, psh, that's it. Okay, that takes judgment, patience, to be able to endure. And you might even get distressed. That's what I mean. Don't let them see you sweat, baby. Be patient. Learn to wait. It isn't important to that individual or to the lost world how much knowledge you have. You don't have to prove that to them, but concentrate on them. Follow their. You're intelligent enough that you can halfway tell what somebody's thinking by their facial expression and by the way they answer your questions. You know where they're at. So learn to be skilled, and patience probably comes foremost in that. And I must say, that's my greatest weakness, because it seems like I cannot help talking all the time. I can't stop and listen. And that is a very bad fault, and I am guilty as sin for having done for being that way. You know, I get too rambunctious sometimes in trying to talk to people, and there you go. All right, you got to be a good listener. That's what patience is in this. 5. In stripes. In imprisonments. Old Paul had been there. All right? In tumults. You're going to have some of those. In labors. In watchings. This kind of in the Greek means sleeplessness. You're going to even lose a little sleep over it, so don't worry about it. In fastings. Now, this doesn't mean some religious fast. This means you might even go hungry every once in a while. And some of us old boys from the Depression days can tell you all about that. And if you mess up too bad, you can get into that fix again. No fault to be that way. Don't stay that way. That's the main thing, okay? 6. By pureness. By knowledge. This is how you do it, friend. By long suffering. How good are you at that? Sometimes I think I'm not so good. Long sufferings. By kindness. I can handle that one pretty good. By the Holy Ghost, better translated, by the Holy Spirit. Boy, you better count on Him a lot, especially when you mess up a lot. By love unfeigned, that means unhidden. Love is the strongest weapon in the world that we human beings possess. Love demands respect. Don't ever think that love, your declaration of a love to a friend or to a mate, or whoever, shows weakness. Wrong. Satan would love to get you to believe that. And I'm sorry, but a few generations ago, it seemed that's the way it was. If you ever showed a little love, you were a weakling. All right? Well, I don't know how that worked into our vocabulary or emotional feelings, But it did. And it's sad. It's of Satan. Unfeigned love is necessary. Hug doesn't hurt, all right? Now, in the right time, right place. Verse 7. By the word of truth. Boy, don't ever forget that. What is the truth? God's word. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, that's even justification, on the right hand and on the left. What are we talking about here? The armor of God. What do you have in your right hand in the gospel armor? The sword. What is the sword? It's the word of God. In other words, when you're an ambassador to accomplish the act of the hinge, you spar with the sword. You attack with it. That's offense. For defense, you in the left hand, you come up with the shield. Offense, sword. Spar, sword. Defense, shield. What's the shield? Faith. That means if you have enough faith, you can kind of, after using common sense, leave yourself wide open because that is your shield. Do you hear what I said now? As I said, this is, I feel I'm oversimplifying this, but I think it's something we forget sometimes. You charge with the Word of God, boldly. And if you have the faith in that Holy Spirit to know, you're going to make a difference. You're going to be protected. Why? He's going to do it. That's in using common sense. And I'm talking about, now if you're out on the roadside and you approach an enemy, we use different swords and shields, all right? We still use part of that same shield, but we back it up with a little hardware, all right? The subject is reconciling that belongs to God using common sense. And sometimes you never know when God will even put you up again in a hard case. Some of the people that I have fought with that were pretty ornery characters, I couldn't have been. And after beating them, they turned out to be real good friends and reconciled even to better thoughts. At least I felt so. Some might, there have been a time or two in the Marine Corps whereby maybe that could be questioned, all right, but most of the time. But use that faith to protect you and be that hinge that swings people back into the love and control, even if you would, of our Heavenly Father. All right. Offense, defense. You know, many of our customs still hold to this or are based on this, and we just don't see it. We forget. Do you know in a wedding, when the bride's coming down the aisle, that the father usually, that the bride is on the right arm of the father and they come down the aisle, but what arm is she handed off to the groom? Left. The bride goes to the left side. You know why? This is symbolic now, okay? The right arm is the sword arm. And he's taking her to protect her. So there is a lot of symbology that is in our lives that we go through and many times forget. Okay? Now, verse 8. By honor and dishonor. There's going to be times that there will be dishonor. By evil report, that means it'll be misunderstood, and good report. As deceivers, that's to say imposters, and yet true. When you teach God's word boldly, you'll be accused of many things. And if you're thin-shelled, you probably better not try to be an ambassador. Because there are going to be people that will talk against you. There will be people that will love you, yes. That's important. But the main thing is, you must be a true ambassador. And the tools to be that proper hinge is to expect these things. You're going to have both. And the people that work in our office that answer phones would be a good one to say, is that true? Because one person will call, and they'll tell you what a nice guy that the staff and the ministry has going for them, and then there'll be somebody will call, and they're not very nice, okay? They'll tell you how bad we are, all right? So you have to be set for that and expected, all right? 9, as unknown and yet well known. Now think on that for a moment. Don't read over it. Unknown by the world, but well known by God. All right, when the Holy Spirit works that closely with you. As dying, and behold, we live. Think of that in a spiritual sense, methinks. Spiritually dead they are, and they may think that you are, because you don't talk just the way they talk, or act just the way they act, or walk the way they walk, pray the way they pray. They may think you're spiritually dead, but you have eternal life. As chastened and not killed. You may get skinned occasionally, but you're not going to die. Okay? Might get injured, but not to the death. That happened to Paul many times. He would be one that could speak with knowledge. 10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, that's to say penniless, and yet possessing all things. Oh, beloved, that can happen in a ministry so easily. In some ways, in the eyes of the world, we're penniless, and yet in other ways of the world, we're rich. We're a multi-million-dollar-a-year ministry because of God's blessings. And we make people rich by teaching them and illustrating and showing them how to receive God's blessings in their life. We do it. When I say we, I mean the Father, Yeshua the Son, and the ministry. The many-membered body ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. 11, Paul would continue, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. In other words, that's where the sword comes from. We haven't held anything back. Our heart is enlarged. Our love for you is so strong it even strains our heart. The 12, listen carefully. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. In other words, you haven't strained our relationship, but from within you have done it. Why? They forgot these simple things. And I'm going to tell you something today. As you dig looking for important, deep truths of God, if you're not careful, you can strain your relationship with God and you're not going to get through. You're not going to get those deeper truths by overlooking the very basics of your approach. It's just like a computer. If you don't know the entry, if you don't know the path, and that means the proper way for you that are not familiar with computers to get to the program that you're going to work within or edit or whatever, if you don't know the simple path, you're not going to get there. That's the way it is in God's Word. It's so easy for us, in depth and in meat, to forget the simplicity of a simple hinge. That is to say, what God expects of you. All right? In other words, He expects you to be a simple old hinge. He doesn't expect you to be a saber jet, but a plain old hinge. He doesn't expect you to be a master computer, a plain old hinge. If you want to get in trouble, forget that sometime, all right? And it's just like a high-tech computer technician or programmer forgetting the path, all right? I promise you. Verse 13, now for a recompense in the same. I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Enlarged where? The subjects of the heart, love. Love us in return and listen to these words. 14. This is balance to boldness, and this is very important. The verse we're about to read is the reason the only two churches that please God taught who the Kenites were. All right? I don't care how loving you want to be, how sweet you want to be in your community, you cannot stop teaching who the Kenite is. Verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" Now, I don't want you to miss this. We've just said you have to go among sinners. And I'm going to tell you, quite frankly, one of the greatest challenges in my life, and I have even sought it a time or two, is to convert Kenites. I'm not going out of my way to do it, but every once in a while it happens, and I have, with God's help and blessings, accomplished it. Not running from anything. What does it mean to be yoked to someone? What was the first verse in this chapter? Workers. Yoke fellows. Don't go to their level to work. All right? By that I mean, don't participate in their actions, their doctrines, their philosophies in your mind. Don't absorb them without kicking them out. Garbage in, garbage out, okay. Garbage in, garbage keep is dangerous. You can become a slop head, all right? Slop is garbage for those that have never been that way. You do not be unequally yoked. Make sure that your fellow workers are, am I coming through? Make sure that your fellow workers are a group that are balanced in God's Word, and that there's not a little idol worship or Satan worship or traditions of men worked in. You cannot operate that way, and God will not bless you. To, again, oversimplify, he's saying, teach who the Kenites are. Show people who their enemies are, and don't equally yoke yourself with a child of Satan, period. All right? Therefore, balanced boldness. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" Answer, anytime you light up your light, the darkness is gone. It can't. 15. "And what concord, what kind of agreement hath Christ with Belial?" With the Antichrist, with Satan, with the spurious Christ. None. There's no way to yoke it. "Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" You start believing with an infidel, and you're pretty soon going to be an idol worshiper yourself. You can't have it both ways, my friend. Therefore, the Word of God is the Word of God. The word of an infidel of the world is worldly and of Satan. The children of Satan are the children of Satan, and the children of God are the children of God. But, balance, listen to me. Even there is nothing that does not belong or has not belonged to God at one time. Be careful. That will keep your balance pretty well within the bounds of operating in God's Word. But you must even remember that the tares were God's property, and that if one of them should believe and come away from the way of the infidel, then they are a child of God. There is a purpose and a reason for everything, and there is nothing new under the sun. Be an ambassador of Christ boldly with balance. Be sweet, but be true as to those negative forces. Don't try to smoke them over. Don't try to cover them over. Teach them as they are. All right? Don't yoke yourself with deception. 16. "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" None. Won't work. "For ye are the temple," that is to say, the many-membered body, your body, "of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them. Now, don't read over that. I will dwell in them and walk in them. Do you see why you're His ambassador? He's not going to walk with them today, not in this season. This is the season and the time, as it's stated in the first two verses, of salvation. When you read Isaiah 49, you'll understand that's what we're talking about. The age of salvation, the agreed time. This is that time. He walks in you, utilizes you. You're His hinge. 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch, I repeat, touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. Excuse me. What's the opposite of that? It's real simple. Don't touch it, and I will receive you. Touch it, I won't. You're on your own. You're a hinge, all right, but you got the other half of your clasp hinge attached to somebody else's wagon. I won't have you. You see, it's very, these little points, though they are so simple, are so very important. God will receive you. That's why the word balanced is utilized. Hey, win, lose, friend, it's the choice is yours. Do you understand? The price was paid for you. You belong to God. He had the deed to your little soul. Or maybe He was married to your little old soul many, many, many times ago when He created you. And you're just running loose like on a long string. And He can slap that string in any time He so chooses, called the little silver cord in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He can take out the slack or He can give slack. But you're the one that decides that by your actions. I like it, and I will receive you. 18. And will be a father. Talk about a Father's Day. And will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters. He calls equal importance to both sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty El Shaddai. His name, Yahweh. He will receive you. So, what have we learned in this very simple, perhaps an oversimplification? God owns everything, but all that will come to Him under those preset rules are free to come to Him, and He will receive them into what? What was the subject? Reconciliation. Otherwise, what's going to happen to them? Like a rotten walnut down the street here. They throw them in the trash. So, that's where you fit in God's plan if you're a part of His ministry. What's your main tool? His Word. What causes Him to receive your fruit? For when you're not equally yoked with a bunch of trouble, use good balance and do it according to His record. He will bless you. Even here, the old pocketbook, many ways with knowledge, wisdom. When you don't know, can't find out, you are a child of the wisest person that has ever been, being, that is to say. God through the Son, ask. He'll give it to you. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes if I get stuck for a moment, a whole page of God's Scripture will flash before my eye, verse Scripture, to read in my mind. Does that make me a goody-goody two-shoes? No, a pretty good hinge. Doesn't make me any better than anybody else, but I like being a hinge. Let people swing on you, all right? And swing them right back into the door of eternal life. Now, don't take that as a statement of somebody on an ego trip. Because any gift God gives us, we can't take credit for. It's Him. It's His. The only reason I mention it is that I know what I'm talking about. and know that that word is true, that He will give you what you need when you're in a time of trouble. And I'm going to tell you something. There's not a Christian in this room that at some time you weren't stretched out like a fiddle string in trouble, and the right words popped into your mouth and you don't know where they came from. I mean, it happens. Whew. Boy, am I glad those words came to me right at that time. Well, on Father's Day, this is very important. You fathers all know what I'm talking about, okay? But that's the Holy Spirit many times, all right? And it's beautiful when you are interacting. I want to say this real slow. It's beautiful when you are interacting with the supernatural Heavenly Father. That is simply means He's more natural. That's why when He teaches, He uses hinges for high tech spiritually. Hinges are high tech spiritually because it communicates the thought that He has toward you as being His servant. To be the hinge on the door of His granary that brings His fruit into His barn. All right? You got it? I think it's beautiful myself. I enjoyed bringing this to you. I hope you enjoyed it as much. Father, we thank You for Your written word. We thank You for Your truth and the simplicity in which Christ taught.